Do you wish healthy didn't have to be hard? What if there was another way? Well, there is. And it's the Jade Walkaway, where healthy is delicious, easy and exciting, and doesn't have to mean saying no to chocolate and red wine. Welcome back to the Jade Walker Way. You're here with your qualified naturopath, Jade Walker. And today on the show, I've got a very special guest who is also a very good friend of mine, and she is nutritionist, Aliz Toth. How are you, Aliz?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So Aliz is a wonderful nutritionist. We also studied at the same college. Funnily enough, we never even really met at the college. It wasn't until afterwards we'd seen each other around. And Aliz is very passionate about autoimmune diseases. She's also very passionate about mental health and really helping people understand what holistic health means to them specifically, rather than that whole blanket approach. So Aliz currently lives in Melbourne, and she's working on quite a few projects. She's also got her own podcast in the works at the moment, which is very exciting. But the first thing that I always like to start off with on my podcast is asking you the question, what's your favorite health food and what's your favorite indulgence?
Oh, okay. Well, my favorite indulgence is Uber Eats. Hi.
Is there anything specific on Uber Eats?
So many. Thai, hands down. Mm. Always Thai.
What's your favorite Thai dish?
Oh, you can't go past a good, like, green curry.
Mm, yeah. Do you like it spicy or you're a mild?
Yeah, mild, definitely. Yeah, but I love a good Uber Eats on those lazy nights.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And my favorite health food is, honestly, anything seasonal and quick that I can just throw in the oven and just have like a beautiful, hearty, nourishing, like wholesome meal that's made from scratch.
So like in the last week, what have you made?
Roast vegetables, some beautiful salmon or some like beautiful organic meats and things like that. Beautiful. But you can't go past some roasted vegetables, especially in winter.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get stuck into it. So the reason why I specifically wanted to get Aliz on, because she's got quite an interesting story, and that is surrounding autoimmune disease. So in March this year, Aliz actually got her own diagnosis, and that was basically based on a myriad of symptoms that she started getting and just couldn't quite put her finger on. Mm-hmm. And it was the kind of things that, as nutritionists and naturopaths, we can usually fix pretty quickly, but it wasn't resolving. So, Aliz, tell me more about that. When did you start experiencing symptoms, and what were they?
Oh, gosh. Okay. So I have been experiencing symptoms for a really, really long time, like years, years and years. And the most common symptoms that I got were the fatigue. It was this constant fatigue, this constant brain fog. One of my most annoying symptoms was feeling really dizzy and just suffering from vertigo almost on a daily basis. And so at the time, I didn't really think anything of it. I didn't know what to think of it, because every time I would go to the doctors, you know, they would send me off, like, due to the dizziness, for example, they would want to send me off to a neurologist, or they would, you know, check the inner ear and make sure I had no infections and all that sort of thing. Or they would give me, medications to help prevent the vertigo.
What kind of medications?
Oh, gosh.
Did you end up taking any?
Remember. Look, there was one time that I did take it, because I threw my head back very suddenly, and I was so dizzy for about 3 or 4 days that I could not get out of bed.
Oh my gosh.
So at that time I did take something, which didn't really help too much, to be honest. But that was the only time I did take something. Otherwise I would just get told, well, if you're tired, then just sleep more, get some more rest. if you're not feeling quite right, you know, you can take some Panadol, and I'm not even really sure why they recommended that, but
they just wanted to give you something. They just like wanted to give you something.
Yeah. Or for the dizziness, like they would recommend antibiotics, assuming that it was some sort of a virus. So eventually what ended up happening was I discovered naturopaths and I ended up going to see a naturopath, and that sort of from there we did a lot of gut healing and eliminated a lot of foods that I was tested for with like a food sensitivity panel. So I started to feel better from that point on, and that's when I started studying nutrition. That was kind of like, it opened up my eyes to this world of, oh my God, like there's actually solutions out there that are beyond what I could have imagined at that time. And, you know, as my understanding of health developed and evolved, my symptoms just weren't really resolving. So I started to look more and more into, okay, well, as you said, like these symptoms are some things that we can commonly fix with ease in most cases, but mine just weren't resolving whatsoever. And over about a two or three year period, I would go to the doctors. I'd always suspected thyroid was, it just intuitively, I just had this feeling that it was my thyroid, but of course my test results always came back normal.
And were they testing just TSH?
They were just testing TSH. Yeah.
So just quickly, we'll touch on that. So for those of you who are familiar with getting your thyroid tested, you might have experienced the same problem where your doctors just simply tested you for TSH, which is thyroid stimulating hormone. And it may have been within their reference ranges, quote unquote, their reference ranges. Yeah. and quite often people are told, no, it all checks out. Yeah. So Liz, being the expert in this area, what are the problems and the limitations with that?
Well, look, mine were actually optimal. So, you know, there's optimal and then there's normal. So my tests were actually optimal at the time. However, that doesn't mean that there is, you know, that doesn't mean that your T3 and T4 aren't doing something that they shouldn't be.
So, sorry, just to interrupt, I'll just clarify that as well. So basically when it comes to your thyroid, there's TSH, which is the one that you usually only get tested for, but there's actually other markers that we need to look at to find out what's going on underneath. It's kind of like the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
TSH is the tip of the iceberg, but there's heaps of other stuff going on underneath. And so Liz just mentioned T4 and T3. So often doctors won't test that. And look, doctors have to work within their means. They're actually bound to them a certain amount of tests that they can prescribe each year, and they will get in trouble if they over-prescribe or over-refer. However, sometimes these key things are going miss, which obviously happened in your case. So tell us more about what happened there.
Well, the other thing is, which I wasn't really aware of at the time, was I wasn't really aware of autoimmune conditions and what that really meant. Like you hear about it, but at the time I didn't really know what that meant. And what I suspect was happening is whilst my TSH levels were within the normal range, I was very much exhibiting symptoms of hypothyroidism, which is an underactive thyroid. And what I suspect was that my antibodies were growing and growing and growing due to a number of factors, you know, from the stress that I was under, the foods that I was eating or not eating, obviously just certain lifestyle choices that I was making. You know, and I've always considered myself to be a pretty self-aware and healthy person, but obviously it wasn't what was working for my body. So what ended up happening was I went and had a thyroid test, came back normal. And then 10 months later, I completely crashed and burned. And I honestly felt so depleted, so depressed, so frustrated. It was honestly, I can't even put it into words, just how low I felt. And I was like, that's it. Something isn't right. And if these doctors don't do the proper testing, then I'm just going to take it into my own hands and arrange my own, like pay out of pocket and get my own testing done. Yeah,
absolutely.
And so, of course, what ended up happening was my thyroid levels came back very abnormal.
And what was abnormal?
So your TSH ideally, optimally, should sit between about 0.5 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
Mine came back at 0.03, which is very, 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 it's a very low TSH. Now, what we commonly are taught and what we commonly understand is that when your TSH is low, and of course, because my TSH was so low, they did test my T3 and T4, which came back high. So that normally indicates an overactive thyroid. So my doctors, seeing these results very quickly, obviously they were very concerned and very quickly told me that I need to be on medication. I needed to start on those medications that day. And they basically told me that this was going to be for life, that I was going to have to be on these meds for the rest of my life. Of course, they hadn't tested my antibodies. And I then demanded, I'm like, well, if you're telling me that I need to be on these meds for life, at least do the proper panel.
And just to highlight what antibodies means, I mean, there is underactive thyroid and overactive thyroid, but then there's the addition of having antibodies, which will indicate whether there's the likelihood of an autoimmune disease at play as to the reason why this is being caused. And so what Eliz is saying is that they hadn't even checked for that yet, right?
Yeah, absolutely not. Yeah. So I requested to have the antibodies done, which they did. And of course they told me that I had Graves' disease because my antibodies came back extremely high, extremely elevated, which in itself was a huge relief because I'm like, finally, I have something to work with. So, yeah, so they told me that I had Graves' disease.
Which but is then, typically overactive, not underactive, even though you were getting the underactive symptoms.
I had absolutely no symptoms of an overactive thyroid whatsoever.
So just to clarify, let's just, for the audience, indicate the difference between those symptoms. So as opposed to what you were experiencing, what are overactive symptoms?
So typically like high blood pressure, increased heart rate, you know, feeling like the heat quite a lot more than like normal people, I guess.
Weight loss,
you know, increased metabolism, increased hunger, the sweating, things like that, irritability, not being able to sleep, anxiety. So anything where your body's in this overstimulated state. Whereas my symptoms were very much the opposite. So it was low blood pressure. I feel the cold. Like I will literally, some days I will literally wear like two pairs of pants. I'll wear like a thermal top, a t-shirt, a jumper and a jacket and a scarf while people around me are walking around in a t-shirt.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just like, I mean, I haven't experienced any weight gain or anything like that, but I definitely feel I have suppressed appetite. I could sleep, you know, for days, and still not feel quite rested. Just things like that. So those were my most sort of common symptoms. It's just feeling like everything was in slow motion.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, here you were knowing that you were having all the underactive symptoms and they've just told you that you've got Graves, which is overactive. What did you think?
Well, I told them that they needed to test for the correct antibodies because they just tested for the general antibodies, which typically indicate Hashimoto's. And of course, because then they were adamant that I go on medication for Graves' disease specifically. And I was just, that was a big red flag for me. So then I demanded that they test for the Graves' antibodies, which they did, and that came back negative. So Yeah, that's, you know, and the thing is as well, the more people that I spoke to and the more that, because I've had a very basic knowledge of thyroid prior to this, mm. you know, like you learn what you learn and, you know, you understand it, but unless you experience it, you just don't understand how complex it can be. And it's not a black and white disease. Mm. You know, and I, because typically it's like, well, if you've got underactive thyroid, then these are your, you know, the, this is the pathology.
Yeah.
If you've got the opposite, this is the pathology. So
mm.
what can happen with Hashimoto's is particularly in the initial onset, you can actually go into an overactive state, which is very, very common.
Mm.
So it's really important to pay attention to your symptoms and be in tune with those with those symptoms, because you might get told that you have this, but if it doesn't make sense, it's important to understand that, hang on, it can swing. It, you know, your thyroid can very much swing and it might not stay the same.
And that's what we were saying earlier was don't treat the test, treat the person.
Exactly.
And that just is so true for so many things that we see in clinic.
Yeah.
People will, for example, we were talking about earlier with B12 and how quite often people who have an MTHFR polymorphism, they might have really high B12 on their blood test, but it's actually not being used.
Yeah.
It's being trapped.
Yeah.
So that's not a true indication of what's going on.
Exactly.
So then obviously you were offered these medications and that didn't sit well with you. And then what about what other people around you were dictating? Were there people telling you what you should be doing?
To an extent, yeah. I mean, I feel very lucky that I have access to these resources and this information and to have had the education that I've had, because I was able to make an informed decision, you know, how I can further investigate the cause of this and how to really, obviously you can't cure an autoimmune condition. You can absolutely put it into remission and be symptom free as much as possible. But it's really important to understand that, you know, yes, like there's, in some cases, medication is very much required, and in some cases, it can be very dangerous to not be on medications. But for me at this point, I made the decision that I wanted to treat my body and really learn what was out of balance, what was causing this, what are the contributing factors, and how I can best serve my body so that it can heal and thrive on its own. You know, if one day it comes to the, you know, it comes down to the point where I absolutely need medication, then absolutely that is a bridge that I will cross when I get to it.
Absolutely.
You know, but the other thing is that made it particularly difficult was when you have a flare-up of symptoms, and that can commonly be sort of induced from really stressful times or whatever might, you know, there's different triggers for different people. But when you have a flare-up, it's very hard for people to understand and to empathize with you unless they too have experienced it. And I think because it is what we call an invisible disease, you know, you look healthy on the outside, you're able to go to work, you're able to get out of bed and walk around and drive your car and do things for yourself. You know, people don't realize how challenging and debilitating it can feel from the inside. And unfortunately, because your hormone, your thyroid has such a huge impact on our hormones, you know, it really can contribute to a lot of mental, like mental health issues as well. So for me, for example, I mean, there was other factors which we've now discovered, but it really caused a lot of anxiety and depression for me personally. And, you know, some days I just felt so isolated and just so down in the dumps that I honestly, it would, like, for me, it was just easier to feel like, well, if I could just wake up the next day and just be a ghost, I would have been happy, you know? Not that I've ever thought about hurting myself, but some days it just felt really hard. I love my friends. I've got a beautiful network of friends, but sometimes when they don't understand, it's very easy for them to say, well, if you just focus on the mindset and focus on getting yourself out of this slump and focus on gratitude and all of that, which I'm all for that, particularly when there is all these underlying imbalances, you can't will yourself back into health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I very strongly believe in holistic health. You know, I very strongly believe that you've got to treat the body physically. You've got to look at the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, all of that. But, you know, and I suppose even when I made some decisions to follow very strict protocols, people would tell me that I was being too restrictive. I shouldn't deprive myself. I shouldn't feel guilty, all this sort of thing, which, you know, I took it with a grain of salt and I understand that it was coming from a place of compassion and love and just wanting the best for me. But it does make it very difficult when people just don't understand why you're making these what seems like extreme decisions, but really it's what they don't understand is how extreme it is to feel that debilitated every single day.
And it adds a whole nother level or layer when you are you have a degree in health science. You understand why you're doing what you're doing to try and make yourself better. You understand the science of how it works, but other people don't understand that. And they just think you're just being extreme and restrictive, but they don't understand that we're actually following a scientific protocol.
Yeah.
And it's, like you said, it's not as simple as just being like, oh, just snap out of it. You know, when you've got genes at play here, it's a big one to deal with.
Well, when you're dealing with hormonal imbalances and potential, you know, genetic mutations and things like that as well, and when your body's not able to actually convert and utilize and distribute these nutrients that you know, you could be eating the cleanest and most healthiest diet.
Mm.
But when there's these underlying things at play, it's virtually pointless.
Yeah. Yeah. So then let's talk about, you know, what you have done and how that compares to what you were recommended. So obviously the modern medical method is prescriptions.
Yeah.
Obviously, for hypothyroid, it's often thyroxine.
Yeah.
For some people, it gets to the point where they even have their thyroid removed, which is so sad.
Yeah.
So what did you do then? The nutritionist approach. Tell us more about that.
I very much looked at my lifestyle first and foremost because I'm very much a go-getter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very much, I can't sit still for too long.
Mm-hmm.
I always have to be doing something, trying something, experimenting with something, getting my hands dirty. My mother has said to me so many times, like, Eliz, you need to slow down. You're doing too much. You're always on the go.
Mm.
And for me, it's like, no, I'm okay. Mm. It's fine.
We call that type A personality.
I am very, very much a type A personality.
Yeah.
For anyone who follows astrology, I'm a triple fire sign. So
don't know what that means, but sounds fierce.
I am very much a type A personality. And for me, it's very difficult to just not do anything. That was the first thing, was I had to really reevaluate all of the things that I'd undertaken and, you know, try to take on and really think what's priority, what's serving me, what isn't serving me, what are my relationships like with people around me, you know, who has my best interest, who do I need to let go, where can I, like, just sort of cut myself some slack and go, you know what, this can be put on hold or this can be put aside for the time being.
Mm.
And really just accepting that it's okay to spend an entire day in your pajamas and not feel guilty about it.
Absolutely.
You know, it's okay to not wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and follow this crazy morning routine because that's what's in trend at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
if I want to sleep until 10 a.m. because that's what my body needs, then I will do so and I will not feel guilty about it. So really learning to love on myself in a different way and just have this like newfound self-acceptance, just to honor myself. And not associate those behaviors with laziness.
Absolutely. And that's something that I often say to my clients as well, is to give yourself yeah. permission to relax yeah. and just be selfish
yes.
for the day. Because quite often when we are making decisions to push ourselves really hard and get so much stuff done, it's not because we want to, it's because we want to be perceived to be looking like we're not lazy.
Yeah.
Even though we know deep down that we're pushing ourselves too hard, we're about to burn out.
Yeah.
But it's just this weird human thing that we do. Mm. We want to be seen to be the absolute best at everything. Yeah.
And it's so normalized.
Yeah.
It is so normalized. Mm. Like it's almost like being busy is a trend. Like it's being glorified. It's, I'm so busy.
Mm.
And I just think, oh my God, like I don't want to be so busy.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And so that was like the first thing that I really had to come to terms with and just accept that it's okay to just be. Mm-hmm. It's okay to have days where you don't want to see anyone and not talk to anyone and not force myself to be perceived in a certain way or not force myself to show up every day mm-hmm. because that's what I'm expected, you know, yeah, and so that was like probably the hardest thing. Mm.
And how did that feel as a nutritionist where, you know, we get this practitioner guilt where we feel like we need to be perceived to appear in a certain way? How did that feel for you?
Honestly, I think once I found out what was going on and it really hit me, like the reality of it really hit me.
Mm.
None of that mattered anymore. You know, I think it was really about getting myself healthy. That's why I pulled away from my own practice because as much as I want to help other people and be there for other people, I just didn't have the mental or physical capacity to give. That's why I pulled away from so many other things as well, because I just didn't have the energy physically or emotionally to give to anyone but myself, because you really, I mean, we all have choices and we all have priorities. And for me, I choose to get better. I choose to not feel like this. And I understand that it's a process and it's not going to be a quick fix. I understand that this could take me years. And I also understand that this is something that I'm going to have to be mindful of for the rest of my life, because there's always something that could flare me up, no matter how good I'm tracking.
Mm.
One day something could happen that could trigger the crap out of me and set me back.
And that raises a really good point to point out to the listeners. What does it mean to have an autoimmune disease compared to I've got a shit immune system? Like, what does autoimmune mean?
So it pretty much means that your body builds up antibodies. So commonly when we get sick, when we get a viral infection or a bacterial infection or something foreign that invades our body's immune system builds up antibodies to attack these foreign pathogens and bring our body back into homeostasis. So essentially with autoimmune condition, what happens is your body builds up antibodies against its own tissues. And there's a number of things that can trigger that. You know, there could be viruses that can trigger that don't get resolved, gut issues that go unresolved. Pretty much, if you think about it, it's anything where your body's not able to find a resolution. So in this day and age, I think there's such a rise in autoimmune conditions because we live in such a fast-paced, you know, society. Everyone's stressed. Everyone's busy. No one has time for self-care. No one has time to eat properly and healthy. Everybody wants a quick fix. everybody's following the latest trend that might not be suitable to their body type whatsoever. And you're in this constant state where your body's trying to keep up with you. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? And you get to a point where, you know, you cause so much like inflammation and imbalance that your body is just not able to come to a resolution and heal. And this can then trigger these immune responses.
Mm-hmm. And so obviously with yours, it's to the thyroid. So it means that your immune system is attacking your thyroid.
Yes.
And there are other autoimmune diseases where it could be, you know, for example, in ulcerative colitis, it's attacking the colon.
Yeah.
So
rheumatoid arthritis is another where it's
attacking
the joints.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So there's just so many different autoimmune diseases. And interestingly, it's much higher in women.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I just wanted to quickly interrupt as I've got a really special offer for you that ends this month. With the sun now shining and the flowers blooming, now's that time of year you start to reevaluate your health as we approach summer. Now, there's a lot of spring cleansers or weight loss programs out there around this time of the year, but unfortunately, many of them are either not backed by qualified professionals, are unsustainable, or really expensive. However, I have something better for you and you can literally start right now. My successful 4-week detox program is now on sale and I want you to get your hands on it. This fully comprehensive liver detox is nothing like the uneducated fads abusing the word detox. No, no, no. This very detox plan is the same in-depth evidence-based program I prescribe for my paying clients and it's very easy to follow. The program includes a step-by-step guide, reveals loads of suggested food hacks, includes a very comprehensive list of exactly what foods to include and exclude, and it even includes what household products you should be avoiding on a detox as well. It includes how to overcome those pesky sugar cravings, a prep cheat sheet to make sure you have everything you need, tips on mindfulness, and if that wasn't enough, you also get free access to me in our private Facebook group. To grab your copy, head to jadewalker.com.au where it's currently on sale down from $47 to just $17. Even better, you can afterpay it for just $4.25 for your first payment. But you better hurry because I'll be pulling the plug on this offer very soon.
But yeah. It's quite high, significantly higher than men.
Yeah.
So going back to what you started doing, obviously you just talked about you were cleaning out your mindset, basically, and those people around you. So let's talk about dietary-wise. Mm-hmm. You started doing a very specific diet that is known to help with autoimmune diseases. Yes. Tell us about that.
So that is called the autoimmune protocol. So essentially what that is, it's a paleo type of diet, but look, it is quite restrictive. So essentially what you're cutting out is you're cutting out all your grains, legumes, pulses, eggs, obviously gluten, dairy, all your nuts and seeds and your nightshade vegetables and spices. So
but what do I eat? That just sounds so restrictive.
Look, it does sound restrictive, but it's really not difficult.
Mm.
I think if you're someone that's just used to eating everything under the sun.
Mm.
And I remember so specifically once upon a time thinking, I am so lucky that I can eat whatever I want and not be affected whilst I was having like the most debilitating cramps and digestive issues, which at the time I didn't think twice about.
Yeah, everyone just thinks, oh, that's normal. That's just normal. Me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Always been that way, always bloated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just how I am.
Yeah.
I'm just always tired. That's just how I am.
Yeah.
So it's just going back to basics. So you're eating, obviously, good quality, lean meats.
Mm-hmm.
You're eating an abundance of fruits and vegetables. There's still a whole lot of vegetables that you can very freely eat.
So what would you have for breakfast, for example, on an AIP diet?
I would have some sort of like AIP friendly flatbread, which you can make with like cassava flour, tapioca, coconut flour. You know, there's plenty of recipes out there. Or I would just saute some beautiful vegetables, like roasted vegetables, maybe some like organic sausages or burger patties, or something like that. Mm. Or I would have some beautiful coconut yogurt with like tiger nut flour, maca, some like beautiful like frozen fruits like blueberries. I would have a smoothie.
So really, it's collagen, just leaving.
You know, so you, instead of having like a protein powder, you would add some collagen powder, so you'd still get those protein benefits. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
So really, it's just leaving the best of the best food, isn't it? It's just leaving leftover. You've just got beautiful, high quality food.
Exactly. So and it's just real wholesome food that you're eating.
So tell us more about those foods that you're eliminating. Let's just kind of go through those groups quickly. So first of all, the nightshades is a big one. So tell us, what are the nightshades? What are they?
So nightshades are vegetables like your eggplant, tomatoes, capsicums, and your spices like your black pepper, cayenne pepper, paprika, those sorts of spices.
And what is it about those that are irritating to autoimmune?
Well, food isn't just food, as we know. So every single food out there contains certain constituents that have multiple benefits. And for a healthy person, these foods, it just takes, you know, all the good and just works with the good. You know, these particular constituents that can have a negative effect on the body, which typically can cause things like cause a bit of an immune reaction. It can cause a bit of an inflammatory response. They might be a bit harder to digest due to certain, you know, like for example, like with your grains and lentils and things like that, you've got the phytic acids, which can be quite hard to break down. So for a healthy person, these things are like, oh yeah, it's, we're having a little bit of issue with that, but it's fine. Like it's no big deal. For someone who's got an autoimmune condition, it triggers a flare up potentially. So not every single person who suffers from an autoimmune condition is affected by these foods, but essentially the science behind the AIP, the autoimmune protocol, is that you eliminate all of these foods which scientifically are known to cause a potential immune reaction or an inflammatory response, or potentially flare up inflammation in the gut, which we'll get to. You know, you're eliminating these foods to essentially take away any potential burden.
It's eliminating all possibilities.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's sort of like for people who experience FODMAP intolerances, you're cutting out all the FODMAP food groups and you're slowly reintroducing to work out which one of those food groups is the trigger. Same thing with the AIP. You're eliminating these food groups and then there is a very particular way of reintroducing them. So you're starting with the least likely to react foods.
That's
to the
most. Seeds, isn't it? You start with the seeds?
Yes.
Yeah. So
egg yolks or egg whites, one of those two. Yeah.
So with AIP, you can't have, this was interesting to me because I'm doing AIP at the moment myself, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't have cumin seeds or coriander seeds. I was like, why? What is this about? And then, as you said, they are foods that are known to trigger off food intolerances.
Yeah.
And another little thing I'll add about nightshades is one of the reasons why they're problematic is because they're very high in saponins.
Yeah.
And as Eliz was saying, there are different constituents that aren't usually problematic to some people. But for those who have leaky gut, saponins actually cause an irritating effect to leaky gut. Yes. Therefore, further allowing those tight gap junctions to become permeable, which is what leaky gut is.
And I have leaky gut as well. So that's,
good old leaky gut.
Good old leaky gut. Yeah. So, and I mean, this is why I was restricting, inverted commas, so much, because you know, when you are feeling so like crap, it's a small price to pay, you know, it's a small price to pay to try and get some sort of resolution and work out what could potentially be flaring you up. So, you know, some people can very successfully reintroduce most of these foods, or maybe there's just ways that they can, you know, look at the cooking process of how you're actually cooking these foods and paying attention to how your body's actually reacting. And I suppose the tricky thing too is sometimes you can reintroduce these foods, but they don't necessarily have an effect straight away. It could take a few days, a couple of weeks to start noticing changes.
And I might chime in here with my personal experience with AIP at the moment. Whilst I don't have an autoimmune disease, there are certain conditions that I have that have, for example, I've always had extreme dysmenorrhea, which is bad period pain, and I've always suspected endometriosis, even though I have had a laparoscopy 7 years ago and nothing was detected. I think we've come a long way since then and people are showing that it could have been missed. So that's something I'm still personally investigating. And I've also battled with SIBO, which I'll talk about in another podcast. But what we know about AIP is because a major component of the quote-unquote diet, we don't like the word diet.
Protocol.
Is targeted towards healing gut permeability and reducing inflammation and reducing that overactive immune system. They are all things that are also highly indicated in endometriosis and healing the gut. And so I've been doing ARP for only a couple of weeks and already I've definitely noticed that that burden off my gut has been highly lifted. One thing I know for sure, and I had suspected this for a long time, but I was too stubborn to get rid of it, were chilies and peppers and stuff like that. I knew they were irritating me, but I kept doing it. And ever since taking those out, I've noticed a huge difference. And funnily enough, Eliz and I, we went out for breakfast this morning, which was extremely difficult for me being on such a restrictive protocol at the moment. But I thought, oh, coconut turmeric latte will be fine. And for some reason, they decided to put cayenne pepper on top of this latte. And I didn't even think twice to check that, if that would be on there. Anyway, so I just, you know, I went with it and I had it. And within about half an hour, my gut was already starting to feel a little bit irritable. So that's very telling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I mean, I used to get really bad dysmenorrhea as well, like to the point where I would have to rely on Nurofen and it would literally make me vomit. Like that's how bad the pain got. And 4 months, like after I started the AIP, 4 months, I had no period pains whatsoever. Last month, it did come back, unfortunately. However, I did bring in some foods that I, because I didn't really feel them affecting me so much, I kind of overindulged. So it'll be interesting to see. I've obviously learned a lesson and I'm going to go back to eliminating those particular foods. So it'll be interesting to see how my body responds over the next couple of months.
Definitely. And because like you said, even though it's an elimination diet and then you do the reintroduction phase, there may be some things that people will always be problematic with.
Absolutely.
And like I know for myself, I have high fructose malabsorption. And interestingly, it's fructose malabsorption is a genetic thing. And so whilst you can do some gut healing and reduce how that impacts you, most of the time you can't completely get rid of it. It is something that you're always going to have to be just wary of.
And it's, absolutely,
it's hard because fructose is in a lot of things. Even honey.
But I mean, look, I know people who follow the AIP and that's just their way of life. And, you know, for these people, if it wasn't for the AIP, they would most likely be on medication. They would live a very, their lifestyle would just be completely like altered and affected by it and not a, you know, in a very negative way. So yeah, like these people are, they're doing it. Like it's a full-time thing for them. It's a lifelong, potentially a lifelong thing for them. But you know what, if it's giving them that relief and if it's put them into that remission state, then
isn't that the best way to
be? That's the best way to be, you know? And You and I are both so passionate about this, but there is no one diet for everybody.
100%.
Like, that really grinds my gears.
Oh, absolutely. You know, as we always get clients saying, oh, I heard about this diet. And it's like, well, it depends if that's right for you.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
And, you know, we've both been ignorant thinking that, of course. You know.
We've both been vegan. Yes. Before, we've both yes. probably done a bit of keto,
yeah.
paleo, you know. Yeah.
And, you know, anything. Like it's so easy to be swayed into thinking that this is the best way to eat, this is the best diet, mm. everyone can do this diet. You just cannot pigeonhole people. Like you just can't, you know.
When you look at genetics as well.
Absolutely. Yep. You know, I was vegan for 4 years mm-hmm. And I loved it. And at the time I was so passionate about it. And I was really convinced that this was going to be the way that I was going to live forever. Yep, and that same. I was never going to touch a piece of steak ever again.
Yeah.
And then obviously, like, knowing what I know now, mm. it makes sense mm. as to why my body responded the way it did. But mm. I remember one day I was like, I need fish. Mm. I just need fish. That and I had such an internal, like, argument with myself. Like, no, yes. but you can't, like, think of the fish. And
yes, I
why didn't you
that.
Just have mm-hmm. some more flax seeds? Or, like, why didn't yeah. you just eat some more walnuts? And yeah. it was like, no, you need fish. And yeah. I would walk past these fish oil cabinets and I'd be like, I need to, like, down about half a jar of those. And I just thought, okay, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to see what happens. Mm-hmm. And within a week, I noticed like a massive, massive mm, shift.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and now I crave steaks like every other day,
mm,
you mm-hmm. know. And again, I like knowing now what's going on in my body mm. and what my body's craving and what yeah. nutrients it's craving, I listen to it. And I know that if I went back, if I tried to go back to eating a vegan or plant-based lifestyle, my body would just reject it.
Mm. Especially, and we're going to dive into this soon, Elise had an organic acids test.
Yeah.
Organic acid test done recently, which we're going to talk about in a minute. And, you know, with your B6 being low,
yeah,
and B6 is highly devoid in plant foods.
Yes.
And so particularly when I see clients with anxiety mm-hmm. and depression and other conditions that rely highly on neurotransmitter function,
mm-hmm.
if their diet is devoid in B6, that's a huge contributing factor.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And look, this is in no way bashing on a plant-based diet because we are so pro having more plants than the absolutely. Western diet has.
Absolutely.
You know, people have too much meat for sure and not absolutely. Enough plant matter. But, and look, when clients come to see me and if they are plant-based and we get what it's like to be passionate about yeah. animal welfare and yeah. it's still a struggle that we go through absolutely. Eating meat, you know, you do think about that, but when you understand the health science aspects, it can be hard to overcome that.
Mm.
So what I was going to say though, with clients, when they say that they're plant-based and that is all they want to do, that's fine. Mm-hmm. We will support them and with the right supplementation and just yeah. make changes to the diet that is going to optimize their nutrient intake the best mm-hmm. possible.
Absolutely. So. And I mean, you know, like right now I'm following more of a paleo type way of eating. I'm not going to say that's, you know, it's a diet. And I'm not going to say that I'm going to do that forever because, you know, our bodies are constantly changing and the needs change and the requirements change and our environments change and we have to adapt with that. So, it was a struggle for me to let go of that emotional attachment to this way of eating and this way of life. Like there's evidence for and against everything, 100%. Right? You know, and it's, I think it's just really, really important to be mindful that, as we said earlier, it's about treating the person, not necessarily the condition, because you and I could have the same condition, but the underlying reasons why we have it could be different. Our lifestyles could be different.
Exactly.
So you can't just say, well, this works for me, so it's going to work for you.
That's right. And you know, this is something that we commonly say as practitioners. What's the one thing in common that all these quote unquote best diets have in common? Is that they're all high in unprocessed foods.
Yeah.
They're all high in lots of fresh, good quality produce.
Yeah.
And that's what is feeding your cells. That's yeah. what is making your energy cycle go around and mm-hmm. making your skin glow and yeah. all those things. It's not whether or not you're having this or you're not having that.
Yeah.
It's usually the fact, the one main thing that you've got in common is just that fresh food, unprocessed Absolutely. Food.
But as we were saying, you know, like foods have their own constituents
yeah.
and they're made up of their own like chemical
mm.
makeup.
Mm.
And yes, it's like an apple is a healthy food. It's classed as a healthy food, mm. but why are some people allergic to it? Why are mm. some people yeah. reactive to it?
Yeah.
So you can't just say it works for everybody.
Exactly. So I do have one really burning question for you, Eliz,
mm.
and that is, how come you didn't do celery juicing? Oh, she's God. Looking at me with the most like, evil eyes right now.
Look.
And I say that tongue in cheek, by the way.
Let's just quickly touch honest. On how brutally juice. Honest do we want to be about this?
I say that we always need to be brutally honest with other people. And no holding back, because people know when we're beating around the bush, so.
Look, I just think, I don't even know how to answer this question, to yeah. be honest.
For those of you who aren't aware, but I'm sure you must be by now if you follow anyone in the health realm on Instagram or Facebook, the celery juice diet was made popular by the Medical Medium book, and Eliz and I have some fun conversations about this one, because what's frustrating is, firstly, it's not scientifically sound whatsoever.
Absolutely not.
But secondly, this diet is influencing hundreds of thousands, if not yeah. millions of people, and yeah. people are basically throwing down any proper health advice they've yeah. given and replacing it with just celery juice alone. Yeah. And what really irks me is that if you actually open up the Medical Medium book, one of the first things that the author says is, I remember when God first came to me and told me to do celery juice, and that just threw it out for yeah. me. I was like, how are people
mm.
taking this, quote unquote, as gospel advice,
yeah. Yeah.
for lack of a better term?
Mm.
You know, I just, in today's day and age where evidence is everything and people are entrusting yeah. this book over anything else in one simple vegetable. And look, celery is great and all, but out of the whole plant yeah. kingdom, it's not even that nutrient packed compared yeah. to everything else. Like there yeah. are just so many other things you could be doing compared to celery juice.
I just think, you know, you've got to be very careful with where you're getting your advice from. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't just go for the Medical Medium, but mm. this goes for all of these health coaches and wellness advocates mm. and influencers online who have absolutely no or very little qualification
mm.
when it comes to nutrition. And, you know, they're recommending these diets and supplements to people without taking, like, without fully understanding the science behind it, fully understanding the biochemistry and the biology and the pathology of what it means to have these diseases. So, mm. you know, to recommend these things, that, like, that's where my issue is. Mm. It's like, you can't recommend that this is going to cure things. You can't make claims that this is going to fix this problem. You can't influence people to come off their medication. You can't give people mm. these sort of false hopes
mm.
And not sort of take any responsibility for that, like, and not Absolutely. Reap the repercussions of that. Like, it's just, you know, and I understand that there's such a level of desperation. You know, I see people so many times where they want to lose weight, they just want a pill. They mm. having trouble sleeping, they just want a pill.
Mm.
They're stressed, they just want a pill.
Mm. Mm.
You know, it's almost like this natural health world is taking over. You know, there's, I suppose, like, the medical industry has gotten a bit of a bad rep for over-prescribing pharmaceuticals mm. and things like that.
Mm.
But now it's like supplements and natural health is kind of becoming that new thing because it's yeah. natural.
It's called green allopathy.
Yeah. Mm. So, like, it doesn't work like that, mm. you know.
Absolutely.
And that's where I get really frustrated mm. is that I understand there's this level of desperation from the public and people mm. who are wanting to feel better and they're frustrated because their doctors aren't able to help them. But it's just not that simple.
And it's very similar with the celery juice fast or diet or whatever. It's something so easy, and it's just like a pill where, well, it's not just like a pill. Obviously, you know, it's just for, you know, sense of the way I'm trying to talk here. Basically, it's just like a pill in the way that it's easy, it's accessible, it's fairly cost effective, and it's just one thing that they have to do.
Yeah.
And that's what's frustrating for us as well, is that people think that you can go and do these things and forget the fact that you're still smoking and drinking and still eating lots of sugar, and then think that they can just have the celery juice on top of all of those choices. Meanwhile, they're really doing all this other crap to their body.
Yeah.
That's what frustrates me so much.
And also, people, you know, he obviously recommends a crazy number of supplements for people. So yeah, again, people thinking that if they you know, take these supplements and like follow these protocols, it's gonna transform their lives. And look, I think if people are eating more celery or more vegetables, then that's great. But I just think if you're not, I just think for anyone listening, like, just be cautious with who you take your advice from.
100%. Look at their credentials and where are they getting the advice from. What bugs me is that he's saying that he's being fed that information from someone in the sky. Like, for me, that just does not sit well at all. Like, because if he's having fed that information, why hasn't someone else?
Absolutely.
You know, that's absolutely doesn't make sense.
But also, I think for anyone, and this goes for anyone who's got a huge following on social media, who have a huge reach of people to influence, be very careful with how you're influencing people. And look, we've all been guilty. Like, I've had moments where I was so convinced that what I was saying was right, and, you know, I've had to learn some things the hard way, or I've just simply learned the truth, or I've been, you know, I've experienced it in a different way. And, you know, but I think when you've got so many people to influence, you, like, that's a very powerful thing, and you should be very careful with what kind of information you're spreading. And look, if it works for you, then that's amazing. But you, it's crucial to understand that that is not going to work for everybody.
And this is the other thing too, is that it will work for a lot of people, and it will get people benefits. But what they're doing is going into that danger zone of forgetting about everything else and replacing important things with that.
Yeah.
And it's just like any of these other fad things that come along. There's always some benefit to it, but is it sustainable?
Absolutely.
At the end of the day.
But I also think, you know, my way of looking at everything is very holistic. And whilst, yes, it's important to be mindful of these, like, physical triggers, you know, understanding the food science, and this is why it pays to go and see someone who's qualified, who actually understands the food science and doesn't just recommend something because it's deemed to be healthy. You know, and I think it's also really important to assess, like, what is going on in your life? Like, what is going on in your mind? Like, what are you surrounding yourself with? Who are you surrounding yourself with? What, like, are you taking on more than you can chew? Are you pushing yourself beyond what you know your limits are and your capabilities are? It all ties in to one. If you really want to achieve optimal health, it takes work. It takes being mindful. It takes consistency, but it has to be right for you.
Yeah. And that's why we went and did an expensive degree to figure that out for people.
Yeah. And look, when I was deciding what I wanted to do, I was honestly reluctant to do a health science degree because I had a full-time job and I didn't want to give up my full-time job and my full-time income. So I was actually looking into some online courses. But of course, that was like, well, my thing was, you know, obviously I didn't want to give up my full-time job at the time, but I wanted to leave the industry that I was in. And I thought, if I'm going to really try and make an impact and create a difference and make this a new career path, I was really going to have to know my stuff.
Mm, absolutely. And it's so good that you actually had the mindset to do that, because so many people just go off and do an online health coach course and think that's enough.
Oh, God, it's so not enough.
No, it's not. Yeah.
It's so not enough. So,
going back to what you were doing, what you are doing right now for your Hashimoto's, did you at any point go back to your doctor and get blood tests and they show that they're improving? Has that happened?
Yeah. So actually, I went back a second time and my levels, so funnily enough, my TSH had actually dropped even lower. So it was pretty much non-detectable. But my T3 and T4 went back into a normal range. So that was really interesting. And then 6 weeks later, I went back and had another test, and they only checked my TSH because it was back into a normal range. Not quite optimal. It had actually gone, it was starting to go into the higher range. So this is what I mean. It swings and it can do so very, very quickly.
And what did your GP say about this? And also, I'm assuming they would have been questioning about, you know, they would know that you weren't taking any medication. So what did they say about that?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay.
They expressed no concern or nothing. They didn't question anything. They didn't query anything. Clearly they saw how, I mean, it was quite a dramatic difference from pretty much a non-detectable TSH to above 2 in a 6 week period. One would think that a doctor would question why that changed so drastically in such a short time, but they didn't.
Okay.
So it's something that I'm just going to monitor.
Yeah. So what are you doing then, supplement wise?
Well,
or what aren't you doing? No.
I'm taking magnesium. I'm taking selenium. I'm taking zinc. I'm taking collagen, a collagen powder. What else am I taking? I do take some activated Bs, particularly, not every day, but particularly on days where I'm
a bit
feeling a bit like I need a bit of a boost.
And you messaged us that one day saying that you feel like you're on speed when you took some B
vitamins. Yeah.
And that just shows how quickly it can get the cycle working.
Absolutely. Yeah. Those were activated Bs, though. When I take non-activated Bs, I don't feel anything. So.
And this really raises a very important point about the quality of supplements.
Absolutely.
It really does frustrate us when we get lumped into the same basket as just cheap supplements and, oh, that didn't work for me, or let's not even get started on multi-level marketing supplements. And, you know, when you look at magnesium, for example, there's not just one magnesium. There are like 10 different types of magnesiums that you can get. You've got bisglycinate, orotate, oxide, citrate, amino acid chelate. Like, there are just so many different forms.
So many.
And they all do different things.
Absolutely.
And some are absorbed better than others. And that's why we're talking about the difference with methylated B vitamins or activated B vitamins. And you really need to know what you're getting. And that's, again, another reason why it pays to invest in someone who knows what they're talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you were taking some amino acids, magnesium, some nutrients. And have you found that they've helped you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I definitely have days where I feel more off than others, but I think for the most part, I've been functioning a lot better. I'm able to get through the days with a lot more ease. It still takes me a while to get going in the mornings, but yeah, definitely feel more human-like.
And we just discovered something that we will talk about in a moment on why we think there is that residual fatigue going on. But when it comes to their supplements, I must say that I believe it would be interesting to see what you would be like if you weren't doing all these things. Like how dysfunctional you probably would be if you weren't doing these things.
Absolutely. And I think, look, I think as much as the supplements are key, I think it's the way that I'm eating that's, and obviously having made these lifestyle adjustments, I really think that's,
diet is everything.
It's huge, you know, just to take that physical burden off yourself.
100%.
Off your body and allow it to just breathe and allow it to function. It's like decluttering your home.
Yeah.
You know, that's essentially what it feels like.
Absolutely. And, you know, for some people they can go on these little protocols and go back on to some unhealthy choices. But for some people this does have to be a way of life.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people might say it's restrictive or whatever, but that's what is going to help you live optimally.
Yeah.
So we have mentioned a couple of times that we've found out some news yesterday on Eliza's organic acid test, and there were a couple of really interesting factors that we discovered that could be the reason why there is still this unrelenting fatigue on some days or the dizziness and things like that. So what we did find, one of the big ones was she had high markers or high organic acids for candida. And a lot of people that might have heard of candida may only be associating it with certain female symptoms. So, for example, like thrush and or a white coating on the tongue, when in fact Eliz doesn't have any of those symptoms.
No.
So this is the thing with candida. It can be asymptomatic, or the symptoms that you're getting from it, you don't realize are associated with candida. And what candida can do, so particularly in the gut, so we all have candida, but it can become overgrown because other bacteria get knocked out, and therefore it's in this, you know, they've basically overgrown or outpopulated our good stuff. And then the candida can inhibit your serotonin production, which is obviously useful for making you feel pretty good, right? Yeah. Feeling happy. And it also interrupts. Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, just a bit.
I mean, there is only a cafe called Serotonin. And really good cafe, by the way. And candida can also interrupt with your energy cycle, so your Krebs cycle. So therefore, you can't produce as much energy.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty big finding, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So,
absolutely. Which, again, it's just, it's a relief.
It really
is a relief because, you know, it's easy to say, oh, I've got so much work to do and it's going to be hard and restrictive and blah, blah, blah. It's, you know, it definitely gives me something to look forward to, knowing that I have these answers and that I've been able to get these answers and that I've actually got direction to work with, and there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Exactly. And really, you only had your official diagnosis in March this year.
Yeah.
You're only very new in the game. You're still uncovering everything that's going on. And it probably will be an ongoing process. And I think the next thing Elise was saying she wants to look at is genetic testing as well, which can be very fascinating.
I'm so convinced that there's going to be quite a lot of things that will come up in that test.
Absolutely. Especially when we talk about methylation, which I'll certainly do a podcast on at some point. So basically summing up everything that we've talked about today, obviously we've talked about, you know, how you ended up getting your diagnosis, how you dealt with the pressure of what everyone else should tell you compared to what you want to do. We've talked about what you're doing at the moment and how important it is to clear out mental state of mind and those people around you, why we don't recommend the celery juice diet, and obviously this organic acid test, which it was much more in-depth than what we've just touched on. But that's, you can actually go on to join Eliza's Facebook group page, which actually has a special Facebook Live that we did today that discussed quite in depth about the organic acid test and her findings. So what I would want to finish off with, Eliz, would be if someone's listening to this and they feel like this could be them, or they have recently found out that they have a diagnosis of Hashimoto's or even another autoimmune disease, what would be your recommendation where they should start in getting the best treatment plan for them?
I think, look, if you can, like, definitely find a good doctor, maybe like an integrative doctor who can really help guide you. You know, find yourself a natural health practitioner, whether it be a naturopath or a nutritionist. Please make sure they have a bachelor qualification, who have clinical experience. And I would honestly recommend you seek out someone who's got experience in that particular area, because, you know, health as we know it is such a broad, it's huge, you know, and it's impossible to know everything. But, you know, find someone who really specializes in that area. There's plenty of support groups out there which have their pros and cons. Absolutely.
By the looks of it, there are a few cons.
Oh, Some of the advice
I've seen you show me.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. But however, it's good to be surrounded by people who can relate to what you're going through, and, you know, you've just got to weed through some of the personal opinions that people have and try and, you know, project.
Yeah.
You know, and there's some great resources. You know, you can reach out to myself or reach out to Jade. But there's really, you know, you don't have to be in suffering. You don't have to limit yourself to believing that this is your way of life, that you have to be on medication for the rest of your life. Like, there are amazing functional testing that can reveal so much more. You know, even in my case, you know, like, yes, I've got the Hashimoto's diagnosis, but had I not had this organic acid test, I probably wouldn't know what else to treat.
Exactly. It's what I've heard a good saying, test, don't guess.
Exactly.
Because otherwise you're just constantly throwing money down the drain, because you're kind of taking stabs in the dark.
And I mean, with, you know, with my symptoms that I've discussed, I can guarantee like 90% of the population probably have half of those symptoms. And everybody assumes that they have adrenal fatigue, you know, which that's a topic
for another day.
Yep. But it's just not that simple.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
just to sum up, you would suggest seeing an integrated doctor.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know what that is, it is a GP who has the medical qualifications, but they have a holistic approach.
Yeah.
So they've done extra training to have more of an understanding of nutrition, sometimes herbal medicine, functional testing and other holistic lifestyle measures as well. I've worked with integrated GPs and they definitely do things differently, and it's really relieving and refreshing to be heard and listened and not feel rushed out of the door with a script.
Absolutely.
So it's really great. Look, there are certainly fantastic doctors who aren't integrated who will also listen to you. It's just about finding the right one for you.
Absolutely.
There's always different practicing styles, and some work for you and some don't. But as Elise was saying, also integrate with a natural healthcare practitioner as well. Yeah. So whether that is a nutritionist or a naturopath or a traditional Chinese medicine doctor.
Absolutely.
And then also the physical components, so an osteopath as well if you need to, whether that's suited for you.
Psychologist.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, mental health is just so important.
Sometimes you need someone who's outside of your circle to listen to you and understand you.
Yeah.
And there's some great mental health care plans. If you go to a GP, you can get some great referrals and get the mental health care plan, which basically enables you to have X amount of, you know, sessions at a very discounted rate. So there's plenty of options in that regard as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So if people want to look out for you and get inspired and influenced by you, Liz, where should they find you?
You can find me on Instagram or Facebook at Holistically Inspired.
Beautiful. Well, we look forward to seeing more from you, Elise, and I have no doubt I'll probably be getting you back on this show again at some point. And I hope that you enjoyed this show. Till next time, have a nice day.
Thanks, everyone.
If you love today's episode, give us a holler by taking a screenshot of this episode and tagging us on Instagram at Jade Walker Health. If you haven't already, make sure you hit subscribe and leave a review to show some love and help this podcast grow. To continue the thought-provoking discussion on today's episode or anything natural and healthy living, join us inside the Jade Walker Way community Facebook group by simply searching the Jade Walker Way community. For loads more healthy info, head to jadewalker.com.au. I'll see you next time. Thank you.